so that I stop being late for meetings. So this one is accurate, which is good for now. Otherwise, we'll go home at 10. Right, okay. Our reading this evening is taken from Luke 24. Ooh. Come closer, yeah? 24 and verses 44 down to 49. Jesus appears to the disciples in Jerusalem. There's a bit of a theme going on, isn't there? This Jesus appearing malarkey. But I kind of like that, the idea that Jesus likes to appear to people. I mean, if I think back to my conversion, if we call it that, or an experience of God, Jesus appeared to me. At that time, on that occasion, it wasn't necessarily the physical presence of Jesus, although as happened in other predicaments where I've heard the voice of God, and that's another story. Quite frightening, but then joyful at the end. But in my conversion, it was just a knowledge that this Jesus that I've been reading about has revealed himself. This Jesus that I was kind of flicking through the pages of my old school Bible and then my mum's Bible, and I was kind of, whenever I went to visit someone, let's say, you know, have you got a Bible in the house? Or what do you want? I thought, oh, just having a look at something on the bus. Secretly searching. And Jesus appeared in my life. Now, it's funny when you look back and you see these kind of stepping stones in your life and you think, oh, why didn't I listen back then? And you might be 6 months on or 2 years on, 6 years on. But I just thank God that he is a God that doesn't give up on us. You know, there's times in our lives where we might give up on him, isn't it? We find ourselves in a situation and we might give up on him and say, well, he's probably given up on me. Well, I'm not going to bother. Actually, praise the Lord that he keeps on chasing and chasing. So here we go. So Jesus appears to the disciples in Jerusalem. Luke 24, starting at verse 44. He said to them, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses to these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised. Amen. Let's just pray. And commit our minds, our tongues, whatever else is committed all to God, that we might be instruments this evening for his cause, for his Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, just thank you that we are freely, as we prayed in the back room, and there was just a sense of, can we grasp the fact that we have a free opportunity to come before you and to worship you? There is no curtain of division, no separation from the holy and the unholy or the unclean. We, your people, can come before you in your throne room and kneel down before you. And you say, come. Son, daughter, come. Father, we thank you. We are all in the spiritual. We are all kneeling to you this evening, Lord. That in whatever is said, whatever happens, that your spirit might move in us. That we might get a glimpse of something in our own lives. That there might be a chain reaction, Lord, from your word. Father, just pray that your word might not be a lifeless text, Lord. That by your spirit you will illuminate it. You will transfix us by your beauty that we see in your word, Lord. And Father, tonight just help us to get closer to you. To be your people. in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. I'm started, yeah? Thank you anyway. That's a good start. That's a good start. That's fine. Okay, so I've entitled this tonight. I've actually used the title, and I don't normally do that, but I've no, something's come to my head, and I'm going to go with it, because I'm one of those people. I'll get a kind of start down on paper, and guaranteed it will change every half an hour, and I'll just never get to the place I want, because everything will be flooding in. You know, everything, you feel, oh, there's this, there's that, this is great, there's so much going on. Time to act. So this morning, we've kind of taken a bit of a journey from this morning, and this morning I recapped again. So there's a quick, over a number of hours, we've done, 40 days, okay, according to Luke, in the book of Acts. We're looking at about 40 days that Jesus was appearing and disappearing and engaging in ministry from his resurrection to ascension. So between that period is about, according to Luke, about 40 days. Now, we touched on what was going on with in Emmaus, in the village of Emmaus, on that journey all the way up there. They had bread, they broke bread, Jesus revealed himself. Then there was two of the disciples ran, completely excited and overwhelmed and screaming, "Ah, Jesus! I've seen you!" Ran all the way back to Jerusalem. And since then, they're in Jerusalem, perhaps in another upper room, as I said, behind locked doors and talking about stuff. Jesus does this appearing thing again. Then there's some movements with the people. They went back to, I can't remember, shout, that's okay for now. Then they come back again. They go off somewhere on the travels. Then they come back again to Jerusalem. And this is where we find ourselves. Excuse me, the hay fever is kicking in, but it will settle down in a moment. It will settle down in a moment. So we're back in Jerusalem, and here we are. We find ourselves in this situation, another situation where Jesus is present and is teaching the disciples again. I mean, we know Jesus is a rabbi. We know that he's a teacher, and that's what he did. But there is something tense in the air this time, because this is pending to Jesus's ascension, that Jesus returns to his Father in heaven. So we look at a couple of verses. We move to looking at verse 44. If you've got your word with you, feel free to just open that up and flick that through. Luke 24, verse 44. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Now, it's interesting that sometimes I find that some of us, we don't really engage with the Old Testament. We're kind of like, you know, are you a New Testament person or are you an Old Testament person? And some people I know, they struggle with the Old Testament. You know, I'm not putting excuses on the table as to your choice, if there should be a choice. I'm not going to get into that. But you know, some people, they struggle with the Old Testament. So, oh yeah, but this is the side of God I don't really like, and all this kind of stuff. And they like the idea of the New Testament because it's new life. Yeah, I can see that. And the fact that they can engage with Jesus as a physical person that walked this earth, and so they can relate to that person. Yeah, I can understand that. And for some people, actually the New Testament, they would say, or their interpretation is, there's a lot about love. It's a lot about Jesus expressing love. And for some, they can't seem to see that in the Old Testament. But anyway, aside from that, Jesus is saying to them, look, you know, this is written. This is the chain of events that is to happen. And I love the disciples. I mean, I always laugh at them because they're ordinary fellow. Okay, some of them are some theologians in there, perhaps. And Dr. Luke's very intelligent. But, you know, some of us have our favorites. But the point is, he's constantly repeating and constantly telling them, saying, you know, it is so. It has been prophesied. It has been written. I'm not sure how much the disciples read. I've not come across many accounts. But Jesus' term is quite specific, because that is how you can sum up the Old Testament, the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Now, are we all Old Testament scholars here? Or kind of, or readers? Call yourselves what you want. Go on, you're scholars for tonight. Right, you're scholars for tonight. But when you look in the Old Testament, when you're looking in the Old Testament, hopefully you're able to see the imagery. Sometimes it's not obvious, you know, talk about the lamb, the sacrificial lamb, you know, things in terms of their white imagery and things like that. So there's a lot of illustration, a lot of imagery and things like that. And if you take your time with the Old Testament, aside from some of the blood and guts, as people say, about the Old Testament, it's a signpost to the coming Messiah. It's a signpost to what is to come. And if you like, the ultimate sacrifice, where we won't need to sacrifice those poor little lovely lambs anymore. One that comes, whose coat is whiter than white, has no stain. A stain we understand to be sin. So they've made a couple of points of where ways in the New Testament, the Old Testament point. So Jesus as prophet can be seen in Deuteronomy. Christ's sufferings can be seen in the Psalms, particularly 22 and 53. And these are just small examples. You know, Christ's resurrection was foretold in the Psalm 16, we can see, and Isaiah 53 again. You know, our faith isn't random. His word isn't random. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes Christianity kind of gets bashed a bit in terms of, you know, the things that we believe in. But actually, if you don't take things together, you're not going to see that connectivity. People say, oh, yeah, but look what it says here. And it's so contradictory. So, yeah, but how does that sit in a bigger picture of the image of Christ and who God is? You can see how that. And maybe because sometimes we think, wow, okay, it's a big Bible. Where am I going to, you know, and you might never get to start because it just looks too big and too scary. But it is foretold, it was to be. And Jesus spent time after time preparing. Not long before this, Jesus already, even the Last Supper, you know, the Last Supper, preparation time. All right, guys, this is it. This could be the last time in this sense we're going to be together. You know, when you do this, I want you to remember me. So, you know, a last time together, something sacred about that. It reminds them on a number of occasions that he's doing the will of the Father. It's not his will. It is all connected. You know, I was going to say there's no mystery, but I'll have to try and explain carefully what I mean by that, because you know, God is a big God, and we can't necessarily, I don't think, understand God. God is God. In the same way, I think, this is how I put it, to understand it, that a computer can't understand its creator. I can't understand God, but yet I can come to make some sense of what's in here. And I know that the more I spend time in here, the more I can see the threads. And there's a number of books actually written about those threads to follow that you can choose. And I think the front cover of some of these particular books, and the one is The London Underground. I think it was Mike Pilavachi. I can't remember what it's called now. But there's these threads that you can follow all the way through to see. And it shows you where Jesus is coming out of this imagery as they move forward to the crucifixion. So it's not new. They're preparing the disciples. He's continuing to explain after explain after explain, because I think they're a bit like me, like I said this morning. They're a bit slow to get it, that Jesus finally has to go. Because I wonder, now that there was a moment where they'd lost him, then Jesus appeared, and we were already touching on this morning about Jesus coming to fulfill prophecy, but there was a bit of a muddle about what that prophecy was, that he was coming to be the king, the kind of ruler, a physical ruler. And there he was, returned, and there again, and everybody come to accept, yes, he has risen. But to then comprehend that he's going to go again, that must have been ultimately confusing. Why, Jesus? Why this time? Why? Where have you been? I don't get it. Where are you going now? Are we going to see you again? So you can imagine that dialogue going on. And then you've got verse 44. And you can imagine Jesus as cool as a cucumber. I'm not trying to downplay the King of Kings or mock him or anything, but just the way the scripture feels sometimes when you read it. And verse 44 says, then Jesus opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. There's maybe a sense of frustration in Jesus there. Right. Go on, Holy Spirit, I'm fed up of these guys. They need to get some of this. He opened their minds so they can understand the scriptures. There's plenty of times when we're looking at his word and we just don't really make the connection. We don't really know what is going on. But we know that God, well, Jesus said, I leave my spirit with you, that we have the Holy Spirit that works in exactly the same way. That is the Holy Spirit that opens our minds to understand the scriptures. I went away once to, I was going to say Downton Abbey, but it wasn't there, Downside Abbey. Downside Abbey, somewhere near Oxford, outside of Oxford somewhere. Couldn't tell if it was north, east, south or west. Went there in a taxi, so it's fairly disorientated. Never been to Oxford before. I was there for almost a week. There was a retreat or prayer and meditation. So we followed the your liturgy, we followed the offices and what have you, and compline. So all of those sorts of things, and everything escapes me now, the words of different offices. But it was amazing. First of all, it was really overwhelming. But then I suddenly got into the pattern by sort of end of the second day, because there's long periods. I think after 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, no speaking. You don't speak to anybody. And that was just the first night trying to do that. We were hiding and whispering to each other in this monastery, because we just, we can't not speak. It's just, I got to talk to you. I got to tell you something. But by the second night, I think we all got to the place where we locked ourselves in the room and appreciated that silence. But the point is that on that time away, it was about meditation that we learned, if you like, ourselves. It wasn't the topic that we went to learn. But we come away with meditating on the scriptures and the power of meditating on the scriptures. Sometimes I can be in a rush and we grab the word and I might quickly read it, or depending if you've got apps and all this kind of thing on your phone, and what's for today? Okay, I saw a lovely verse or whatever. So it's that kind of soundbite information, which is all good, by the way. No one's coming to say that they're not very good. They're all good. But what we did is this kind of extended time of being with the Lord, if you like, whether it be in the mornings or at lunchtime, on lunch break, or at home before you go to bed or before tea or whatever. And it was a case of actually meditating on a piece of God's word, whether it be a short piece of a short verse or something massive or a whole psalm. Like, I tried a whole psalm. It was Psalm 23 only because I knew it and didn't have to spend all day just trying to read through it and understand it. And I did it with a psalm and something else, a smaller verse, perhaps under 10 words, if you like. And on both occasions, that meditation on his word, I had two of the most amazing experiences I'd ever had in reading the Bible. And I think for many today, whether it be Christians or non-Christians, sometimes this idea of sitting down and reading the Bible is so not exciting or so not done today, I don't know where we find ourselves, but it was the most overwhelming, exciting experience I'd ever had. And it was a case of, to sum it up, that meditation was about me giving God time. Me giving God time to intervene in my being. Rather than, Lord, quick prayer, got to go, and all this kind of stuff that we fall into in society. I gave God time, and he wanted to speak to me, and probably has done for a long, long time. And there I was saying, okay, I'm sorry, please speak to me. And it was amazing. Absolutely amazing. Guess what happens the minute you get back home? For the first week, you're adamant you're going to be this kind of urban monk. I bought the book and everything, you know, urban monasticism. That sounds fab. I was like, right, because I want to transform life. I want to be different. I'm getting bored. I'm getting bored of what I've got, Lord. I need to be, you know, having audible voices as I wait for the bus. But time, anyway, leave my excuses for today. But I'm still working on it, but I blame my five children, so that's fine. That's what I'll say when I get up to the pearly gates. Well, look at them, I've got five of these guys there. So that meditation was so important. So it's the Holy Spirit, and in that occasion, why I shared that example was it was the Holy Spirit that opened up my mind to understand. And it's like the penny drops, and you're like, oh, right. And for me at that time, it was more about who I am in Christ as opposed to, right, Lord, shall I go to mission to Uganda or should I? It was more about, you know, shall I step out in faith in ministry or just do this and this? But a confidence in the Lord, it brings you so many riches, perhaps riches that you can't see, that the world might clasp, but riches inside, that you have this joy and you have this passion, you have this open-mindedness of these scriptures just living in you. I remember, sorry, one more little story and we'll move on. But I remember when I came to faith and I had this such, I was too scared to go out. I was too scared to go out because suddenly everything that I knew of the world, and I was a bit, I'd gone into church to really meet with Christ because I was fed up with my life. I was living on and off the streets. There wasn't a day I wasn't drinking. You know, it was getting ridiculous. I had a baby. I wasn't looking after my first child. I'm on five now. It's not bad. Same wife. You know, it wasn't good. And so my wife said, look, this ain't happening. And it was awful. And I didn't want that. But the point, so that's why I ended up in church. Quick testimony. But then I didn't want to go outside because I had this flip view of the world. When I went into the church, I understood the world. And I understood the rules of the streets and thought, yeah, no, that's, yeah, I understand. And then suddenly God changed it and it was like, hang on, it all seemed like a lie. I don't know if anyone's been in a situation where someone says something that you've believed for so long and then someone says, no, it's not actually true, it's this. And you're kind of confused and disorientated. Yeah, but that means, and it was like that. And I had to ask someone to walk me home because I was quite frightened of what was outside. It was a bizarre. It was, like I was saying, that was all from God. It was probably just me having a panic attack. But it was just bizarre that my mind was opened up to an element of, you know, God's truth all flooding in that one moment where I was crying for about an hour on the floor. And suddenly, like they say, your scales fell and your eyes opened. And I just couldn't believe what I saw. It was overwhelming. But it's the Holy Spirit that opens our minds. And I would love to, as part of this, and there'll be some more in a minute, perhaps something to pray into at the end. I think I wanted to pray this morning and forgot and rushed off. For us to pray into that, particularly, you know, for the Holy Spirit to really work through us as individuals and where we are in our own little mission field, if you like, and also corporately as a church, that we see the Holy Spirit working in us and working in the lives of those outside as well, opening their minds that they might come and engage with this place. Okay, so then we got in verse 46 that Jesus says, this is what is written. So we have a challenge coming up in this passage. And that's why I've said it's time to act, friends. It is time to act. This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. So repentance for forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations. Now the first thing I thought of was, do you know what? Jesus has kept his side of the bargain. Jesus has kept his side of the relationship. Because there's kind of two things to this. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. We've just emerged, almost 40 days on, we've emerged from that. And repentance for forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name for all nations. So the challenge is, so what are we doing? What are we doing? Does this mean that, because clearly there's a commission on our heads to be doing something. And there's much talk about this passage because it's prior to Christ leaving this earth. So surely there's something special about what he's saying at this time. You wouldn't want to, you know, someone says, okay, Mr. Malanga, your last words. Oh, I'd love a caramel frappe. No, I hope not. You'd want those words to be something everlasting, something eternal, something that is about, is part of the mission of God. A legacy that you're leaving, that you've tried to train up these people. You know, has he not been a role model? Has Christ not been a role model for all this time? What has he been doing? They've been with him. They've seen what he's done. Yes, they've been confused. Yes, they've kind of doubted still. Christ has even had to say, look, I've got the hole in my hand. What more do you want? So if outside of the bargain is to go, where are we going? And I know at first glance, and perhaps that was the context at the time, not so sure. International, go international. Mission overseas. Friends, Africa is sending people back here. So I think we got to take stock of that one. The secret church, the underground church, is sending people back here. And we were praying about that. And there was a tongue-in-cheek sort of, you know, a secret church that if it's found that you're meeting to pray, you're in trouble. Big time. But yet the growth of that church is absolutely phenomenal. So what's going on in the UK, guys? We're under a cloud of oppression, big time. What is it? The cloud of lethargy? I can't say it. I don't know what it is. Are people so disillusioned? Perhaps that's what it is, actually. So outside of the bargain then, what are we doing? How are we engaged with folk? How are we engaged with them for them to come to a place where they can be rid of those things, where they can be rid of feeling oppressed, of downcast, as so topped up with sin that, you know, the people are walking just heavy. Do you know what I mean? And you've struggled so much and life's been so tough. Each day and every minute and every hour and every smile is a challenge. Jesus has kept his part of the relationship. And I mean, this was something that it was coming to me the other day. I was playing on trying to make Facebook work, and it's useless because I can't work it, so it must be useless. But you know, I was praying, I just felt really fed up that I wanted to tell everybody, guys, we're going to church week after week after week after week. It's all about me. It's all about me and my church. Stop. I can't do it anymore. This just isn't what it is about. Jesus was so not him. Do you know what I mean? It was showing that it is about everybody else. The kingdom was upside down. And we've fallen into these clubs. We got to go. We have got to go. Got to help people find forgiveness. We've got to help people find forgiveness. You know, these were the last words. I can only imagine. I wish we can all say that. I wish we were there to see the passion in Jesus' face in terms of what he wanted us to do. And connecting that to what he did on the cross. You know, and to think about those robbers, that scene is amazing. That Christ is on that cross. There are two thieves. One recognizes who he is and he acknowledges it. You know, you were the Messiah. You were the King of Kings. I can't remember but yeah, he recognizes who he is. He acknowledges it verbally. And Jesus says, you will be with me. You will be with me. So even when Jesus was in excruciating pain on the cross, and although he was divine, the scriptures suggest he cried out, Abba Father. Abba Father, he cried out. Does that mean there was no pain? These words must have been filled with passion. And what would he say to his church today? Guys, you got to get out there. You got to let people understand that I came that they might be forgiven. That their sins might be forgiven. That they don't have to live the way they live. That they can find another way. That they can live a fulfilled life. I referenced the scripture this morning. I've come that you might have life. So are you having life? Do you know someone that is living a fulfilled life? Or do they need to recognize this? Or do we need to work on this through their lives and preach his name? I think the problem with preaching his name is that these are words that we dress up now, that maybe preaching is for somebody, certain type of person. I'm just nuts and like standing up and talking about Jesus. Now, I reckon we could all do that. We can all talk about Jesus in whatever context. Whatever context. You know, that's preaching in his name. That's just sharing of his name. And he's saying that with authority in your heart. That's exactly the same as this morning. Exactly the same as this morning. And we're going to pray in a minute. We're going to be praying into that because that's a big step. You know, there's always someone in my street that you walk past all the time and you might get to learn a little bit about somebody that you know there's some troubles going on and you desperately want to minister to them. You desperately want to talk to them about stuff that you've set your whole life on because their life will be transformed as well. It takes guts to do that. It takes a bit of boldness to do that. It takes a move of the Holy Spirit to be able to do that. So when do we fulfill our part? Yesterday. That's all I'm going to say. Yesterday. We can no longer consider this to be someone else's role in the church. It's time to act. It is time to act. Christ, moments before his ascension, telling us to go. Go. It's time to act. Go now. Go show the people me. Go be me. Okay. I think I need to stop talking and do some praying for a moment. Oh, final thought. In verse 47, it tells us this. We're witnesses. And quite comfortingly, actually, in verse 49, Jesus says, I am going to send you what my Father has promised. And we know that to be the Holy Spirit. And I don't want to sound like I'm banging the same drum, but you know, what do we understand by witnesses? You are witnesses to these things. You are witnesses that God is alive. You are witnesses that Jesus was in this place. You are witnesses that the tomb was empty. That he appeared to the disciples, that he did this, that he used mud and someone could see, that someone could walk. I go on. But now we are witnesses. For most of us are here with an experience of some kind or a testimony of some kind. Therefore, we are witnesses to the King of Kings. And he sends his Holy Spirit that we might do that we might do something. Imagine, just imagine, I don't know, what can I, the shiniest, my children, the shiniest toy in the house, or the shiniest football, and it's just almost, it's always been brand new. It has always been shiny and lovely and new and looks expensive and brilliant, but it's been there for 2 years and you just can't understand why. It's a child's football. It should be used. It should be kicked. There's five children in the house. What's going on? The Holy Spirit is here for us to be used by him, that we might be effective. You know, Paul, when he talks about athletes, I love it. I love all that. Because it's right, isn't it? Yeah, I know that you know I go to the gym because I'm... You can laugh. That's all right. Yeah, I won't think you're rude. It's fine. But you know, it's flexing it, isn't it? If we're not going to start flexing in the spiritual realms... I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. Friends, just receive. I'm sure you've had sermons on that, about receiving. We've been sent to go. We've been sent the tools. Like telling the kids, go play football. There's your ball. Go. You wouldn't stop them. Off they go. Get over there. Doesn't matter. You know, they're not playing superior amateur football or any professional football. They're just kicking it, falling. They're just getting stuck in. And they love it. The people of God got to get stuck in. Get out there and act. Okay. Now it's time to pray. So, let's have a look. Two things. Okay, yeah, right. So, I'm going to pray that, as the scriptures tell us, that our minds might be opened to see the unseen. That's fairly broad, fairly open, so be prepared for that. Okay, I think we'll do that. That includes the scriptures. That includes anything, really. I'm up for it all. Seeing all sorts, right. Okay, so we're going to pray for the Holy Spirit opens our minds. And also going to pray that the Holy Spirit equips us and gives us divine opportunity. How's that? Yes, James, let's go for it. Okay, then. I'll remind us of the second one, too. I might forget myself. Okay, just pray for the first one. I'll lead. So what we'll do, I'll open us in prayer, and then we'll have just a minute or so, and then if anybody feels bold enough, confident enough, just to add into that prayer, that's fine. Then we'll hold hang fire, then we'll move on to the second one. Okay? We'll see how we go. Heavenly Father, just thank you that you want to use your people. Actually, Lord, you want to use everyone, Lord, but you're calling everyone to you. But at this time, your people are ready. You are anointing your people, Lord, to do what they need to do. So, Father, we just pray that by your Holy Spirit, you might reveal to us, you might open our minds as we read the scriptures, Lord. Open our minds that we might see new things, Lord. I'm sure that most of us here are bored with the mundane. Not bored, but I don't know. We want more. We're God chasers, Lord. Help us to be a God chasing generation. So just unblock those things of our mind, Lord. Maybe even show us those things that we have to deal with, that we might have to repent from, or to receive ministry to get out of the way, that you might reveal to us greater things in your word, Lord. Amen. As we must go into all nations, Father, not just all nations in these days, of all communities, all neighborhoods, in all families. Father, we just pray that we might have a refreshing of your Holy Spirit in this place, Lord, as individuals and as corporately as the people of God in this community, that you might send the tools and make divine opportunity, that your people might be able to step out and just speak of you, to speak about you, to share of you, or to do something practical. And Lord, I'm sure that things like this are already be doing in this community. But Father, I just pray that you really rise up a people in this place, Lord. That Father, for many of us, we're fed up of seeing people struggling, Lord. And also at the same time, though, we're scared to reach out when we've been there. Some of us, we've been there, but we're scared to put our arm out. Well, Lord, give us that boldness. Send your spirit, Lord. Give your people the power to be transformational in your name. Lord, you said to your disciples to go. Do this in my name. And Father, help us. Father, help us that we might transform people because of you, that your spirit might move in a mighty way, that we haven't got to spend time arguing about anything. The Old Testament, the New Testament, no, Lord. Let us just stand and say your name, and your spirit will do the rest. So, Father, I pray for divine opportunity, both in this place and beyond this place, in family and in community, and in the local surgery, in the local library, in the local news agents, in the streets. And, Father, I pray for protection of your people. We plead the precious blood of Jesus, that as they do this, they will be living and serving under the protection of your mighty armor. No weapon formed against us will prosper. Never. So, Father, equip us and send us. All of this is in your word. This is not made up or dramatized, Lord. It's all there. So, Father, help us to find the boldness, to have that spirit. We want to be courageous like Joshua. And may our children, those who have children, that they might grow to be courageous like Joshua. And not strangled plants that grow and try and find sunlight in this world, Lord. And Father, may your spirit just breathe upon us. May just move through this place. That your people might know. In Jesus' name. Close with a benediction. Oh, there it is. I've got a... Okay, the benediction. Go and know the Lord goes with you. Let him lead you each day into the quiet place of your heart, where he will speak to you. Know that he blesses and watches over you, that he listens to you in gentle understanding, that he is with you always, wherever you are and however you may feel. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys.